Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Stay with us.
The whole win. The problem for only one reason that was had.
Studio with me, special guests.
Okay. So we got,
I rounded them up from the Peace Vigil, and hey, they were, I was surprised. I shouldn't be surprised. We have Cordelia Clancy, director of training of the Concrete Jungle Self-Defense, one-time trainer to NSA personnel. Is that correct, Cordelia?
Yeah, actually, the security advisor to the Pentagon top general,
I remember some other previous
combatants
that
the tactics.
You should trained him in I should say, wisdom and good judgment, perhaps that's your next task. We'll send you out to do that.
I think that was the March, the War Against the Poor March last
also
summer.
Also with us, Madison Fitzgerald, an artist of international renown.
Okay, so you got 500 people, huh?
Yes.
Yeah,
you've actually supplied a banner for the town clock peace vigil.
Are people joining?
By blowing the whistle on you here?
How much?
You better speak up a little bit.
We need a donation to the cause. I think that society and children that you raise are very instant, they're looking for instant fix, out there in the pouring rain, the morale is getting low, they need something to get them boost, and
have
people need to know that,
Bob, have people come out from the houses, have people joined the march who weren't there at the beginning?
It took Ohio State 5 years and a few deaths to catch up to Berkeley, so this is not going to be an easy fix.
Yeah, I guess you first noticed the vigil when it was at Cooper and Pacific, where it stayed for 6 days, and the vigil to get two wars. The war in Iraq and the war on the poor in San Cruz.
I haven't seen one negative support at all so far.
And how long does the march extend? For a half a block, a block? What do you think?
Hit on by a lot of our conservative types, and I just felt like something that would survive the rain and wind would really help them out, and they got right back up in there with it. So I think it was intended to do, and hopefully everyone sees it.
Until it was moved along by the police, of course, from 1 to 1, 2, 3, its fourth location at the town clock. It's, I guess, being given a little more respect, or at least distance from the police.
In San Francisco, of course, they were doing
were
lockdowns at intersections and so forth. I guess none of that is anticipated here.
One of the vigilers got assaulted and had actually go to the hospital for stitches, but he's back again. That's Olivia Browner, I think you will be listening to us, even as we speak. She'll be at the 11 o'clock
What about
meal.
The
and for those of you who are hungry, there's actually one very good free meal in town once a week.
Hostile?
And it's at the Loudoun Wilson Center.
I haven't seen any hostile
it's
people.
Eggs and either bacon and sausage or I'm not sure. I don't know.
Now, have you been with the march from the beginning?
A Loudoun Wilson Center, 11 o'clock.
Were you with the march when it started?
Pastor Adams feeds folks there. And also the pastor is around 2 or 3 shows up downtown with a hot soup, both vegan and meaty. You can think it's pretty quite a choice here. So anybody wants to call in, either from on the streets or in the suites, you name it.
You got kids in the march,
427-3772 is the phone number here.
You got young kids in the march, or
837-3772 if you're calling from London, Baghdad, or Moscow.
We
actually have had calls from Australia and Germany in the last few months, so it actually is not.
Any people
we
in uniform?
Not just a local station. We broadcast on the web at www.microradio.net/FRSC in case you want to tune in and check us out there. Again,
you know, we had a march here that
Cordelia
just walked by the Free Radio Santa Cruz
Madison
secret
Fitzgerald
studio here.
Now, or should I say Madison Fitzgerald?
Well, this is actually,
of course, me.
This was a very small march of about, like, I don't know, 40 or 50 people. It was headed by the mayor and
where do we start, Madison,
and I guess
what kind of an artist are you?
Ruth Hunter was leading the march.
Oh, my work ranges from, I took paints that people turn into hazardous material, and then I usually get recycled into anti-graffiti paint.
You think they're going to try to disrupt Chinese meals, or possibly,
Into
hot tubbing or something?
I've done public art, large murals, two story teams, three block long
murals. Bob, maybe you can get them all to sit down on the sidewalk in solidarity with homeless people.
Landscape architecture projects, sculpture, all kinds of things. It depends on the client.
You're doing double duty. You were on the job all day here in the studio.
Of course, blue is the lowest alert. We have blue alert, green alert. I'm sorry, green alert, blue alert.
Well, I hope you'll be in the studio later to help hook us up with enemy combatant radio so we can hear some more first-hand reports.
All you have to do is
psychedelic alert.
Yeah, then there's, of course, the haze alert.
Yeah, the direct action alert, right?
And all these alerts around.
You can disguise your voice.
I'll
call you Robert instead of Bob.
Yeah, I'd like to cut in here a little bit and talk about the alerts and the government's, I guess, attempt to get everybody jittery to justify their Patriot Act and all the other assaults on civil liberties. But
any chance
it's
of
blatantly
them occupying Representative Carter's office?
I would think a lot of other people that
I would say so.
The most effective counterterrorism measures the country can take is not to create enemies in the first place. It seems like we're just raiding the coffers of the national budget.
Yeah, he's still not sure about that. He's still thinking about them weapons. But he does favor Barbara Lee's resolution that says, get the fuck out of there.
I
guess that's good. It certainly is good. It's not bad. But
they don't get a clue and realize
his general position is horrible enough, I think, for people to want to
Policy that
use his office to send a message. That's always been my perspective.
We wouldn't have people hating us and attacking us. Symbols of economic and military
right,
as in September 11th.
My words are valuable.
For that reason,
what?
Sure.
My words are good.
I'm going to get ahead of everybody.
I guess I'm interested
here.
Also taking a local slant on this. There's a lot of everyone, you know, we've got all these local politicals agreeing, we don't like the Patriot Act, and down the Bush regime, evict Davis from Sacramento, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. See if you
but
can
when it comes
find
to the poor in Santa Cruz, we have laws that criminalize right and left, yet it is the poor who have been carrying on this vigil largely for the last, since March 7th, I guess, 2.5 weeks now.
Yeah, but I'm so old I've forgotten about it.
Third week of this peace vigil. Couldn't get the students to do it, couldn't get the research center for nonviolence to do it, couldn't get, Iraqi peace action. Although they did show up at the table once a week, and they're tabling other times, Peace Fridays, and good for them, and good for the other groups for doing what they do. But the people who came out there were up there last night in the rain.
Is anybody engaging in criminal chalking?
It wasn't the two of you. It was poor people on the streets huddled together, risking sleeping tickets from Lieutenant Patty Sapone, who threatened them with tickets for sleeping, which in Santa Cruz is a crime after 11 o'clock at night, $54 fine. And since this weekend, there will be less than 60, perhaps 28,
I
saw that
his photo on the internet.
No more than 60. Space for 60 people on the floors
of
churches for 1,000 or actually 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people. This is sort of a crime locally.
I've
always been beating this drum long before the Iraqi war.
Sounds good.
But I find it particularly telling that we have Emily Riley leading a little parade past this past our own radio station here.
Our anonymous man from the field who is taking French leave.
She's the same person who canceled the town hall meeting on March 19th.
Give us the word here at Free Radio.
500
people marching around town.
Again,
a smaller march
on the character and policies
by,
far.
I believe Emily was out of
by Ruth
town
Hunter,
before,
Mayor
so
Emily Riley, her husband, numerous other members of the community. Trailing along in their wake routes, I shouted at Mayor Riley, what's happening? When's that town hall meeting you canceled for March 19th? And she gave me, it's March, I think she said 7th perhaps.
You know, people
I'm not
used to
sure,
tell
but
there
she said it was some,
guns,
in April. So it was in early April was the next, was the town hall meeting. So it'll be just in time, to start counting up the casualties. So I suppose we should all be grateful that we get something.
Now,
but, you know,
that I did learn
we needed a meeting
process,
on March 19th, and instead we got a cop-out. We got an incoming call here.
Was that it took not fractionalizing.
If
Emily Riley ever showed up at a peace vigil, I would be extremely surprised. In fact, it's going to be her laws that will criminalize this peace vigil. That's the problem, see. I hear what you're saying. I mean, Emily Riley says she's against the war. Emily Riley City Council, a bit late, came out, although they were the first city council in the country to come out against the war. So, you know, we can at least say thank you for that. But we also have to note that she ignored every single resolution that came out of the town hall meeting on February 15th. I mean, it's just, you've got to be realistic about this, too. We have an incoming call, and let's hear what the caller has to say. Hey there, caller, you're on the air.
Okay, hey, Robert, I just wanted to Bathrobes Pierre. I think with the Emily Riley issue, I think that all this stuff with the city council, oh, they're against the war, Patriot Act, this and that, I really think that they don't even have the legitimacy to make that statement because there's an unbroken line between the federal government, state government, and the local government, and that can be looked at as looking at the political situation of really any country. It's an obvious fact. If they really want to make a statement against this war, they would not be a part of this government. They would just give up their positions, and that seems like a radical thing to force them to do or something. They don't have to do anything, but I don't want to hear like anti-war this or that, and then they'll make a big thing about the Patriot Act, and as soon as the fucking federal government calls them and tells them to do anything, they're like fucking little lucky dogs, and they'll do whatever they're fucking told. They really want
to
be against something rather than get out of the structure that's completely corrupted and a part of it.
That's a good point.
In San Francisco, as you probably know, there were early morning marches that tied up the entire financial district throughout the day.
You know,
anything like that.
That's a real good question. What will local authorities do when the feds come back? They may resist. They may object. They may say no. But they haven't shown a lot of dispensation to do that or disposition to do that. For example, you know, in the medical marijuana issue, where medical marijuana was seized from Bell and Mike Corral in September. The sheriff's deputies were in there supporting the local, the federal agents who went and took it over. There was, you know, there was a little symbolic protest by Chris Cohn at City Hall where 13 people got medical marijuana. But medical marijuana laws in Santa Cruz, not at the state and federal levels, have driven away the largest medical marijuana club and make 80% of medical marijuana people essentially have to scrounge around the levy for their stuff. But I think perhaps my guess may have a different thing.
I can hear what your caller is saying. I also think it's important to be in the system in order to be able to change it. If you totally give your finger and just step out, then all that's left are the ultra-conservatives, and there's nobody in there to give the voice of sanity, as it were. So I think that they need to stay in there and get
them through the windows, the rattling of the windows, the ringing of revolution from the outside. Can't they hear that?
They can probably hear that, and I, for one, am very proud to be here now in Santa Cruz. I think this is ground zero in the anti-violent movement, and I'm very proud of the City Council for offering the first resolution against the war. Of course, there's always more that we can hold on, but I think that we need to support them in the efforts they are trying to make, and change isn't always instant, you know.
I'll leave that to you.
I completely agree with Cordelia on that, and change, it is, in America, you have to be like a tsunami coming, you know, everyone thinks a tidal wave hit, but they know it's coming, and it's slow, and sure, and strong, and it's one step at a time, and, you know, there are many factions in many ways that our taxes get divided up, and these people need to stay in there for the programs that we do have.
Are you a rare,
and a lot of the way things
are
packaged, the way the government is designed,
is
you don't get funding for your gangs and salinas and programs on the street unless you sign up for an arms package at the same time. So you really have to understand that that's the way the government works.
Now, are there, in San Francisco, they've been using lockboxes and, you know, devices to slow up the police's attempt to, you know, arrest people and get them out of there.
Okay, that's wonderful, and I think you're just really, like, offering Emily Riley and people in the government much too much faith. That's fine. Incremental steps, we're working within the system, these type of catchphrases, they're fine. But if you look at what's happening in real countries, like even other than the United States, a lot of times that incremental change is not happening. Why? Because those factions, or those people in the government need to get co-opted or corrupted. And I'm sorry, but if Emily Riley wants to kick down some of her huge winnings from her business, from her capitalistic business, and help me with my struggling artistic life and help others, it definitely needed and are exploited in this community, our labor power. And if she wants to change some of those situations, fine. I don't think that she's working incrementally toward much of any fucking thing.
Well, looking beyond, again, the local situation, the war on the poor,
now, are people
Emily
wearing
Riley
masks
has sponsored
and
four
bandanas
different
and having
some issues in the last 2 years.
Sorry?
There you go,
and, you know, I mean, musicians and struggling artists on the street, it's illegal for artists to display their merchandise on the street, or I should say their artwork on the street, even if they're not selling it, even if it's only for a donation. Riley is allowing this to continue and is essentially endorsing a selected enforcement policy by the Santa Cruz Police Department, which is becoming notorious. I see six police officers. It took six police officers to give me a ticket for chalking "No War" on the sidewalk. Sorry, on the street. It wasn't the sidewalk. That's another irony. 4 days ago, it's illegal to chalk on the sidewalk in Santa Cruz. You see, hopscotchers beware. But it's legal. It's legal to chalk in the street unless they try to get you for, quote, vandalism, which they have never tried to do.
You reached a radio show show that,
court trial
that is concerned with civil rights for homeless people. How are homeless people being treated in the midst of all this?
Well, we are
what you were saying, Emily Riley. I hate to give a lot of time to Emily Riley because she's been invited on the show. She refuses to come. You know, I mean, she's not really a part of this dialogue. But I mean, you are. The guests in the studio are.
A society when it gets to a peak in military, when you look throughout history or art history, it usually shows decline. Now it's up to us to recognize and educate on the decline. Like on September 12th, I gave out peace signs from lovebug.com to all my friends, magnetic ones that go in your car, and they wanted to beat me up. Now they're like, oh, Matt, thanks for peace sign, you know, where'd I get that on lovebug.com? But knowing after being at Berkeley as a kid and knowing all the lies and propaganda that came out against the students that wasn't happening,
yeah, I think
it's,
I'm just trying to see,
because
I'm trying to get some sense of how
made
much percentage
seven-year-old
of the area is unemployed.
Overnight.
But,
I mean, that's what happens to war babies.
I really don't know.
But
yeah,
what, with the art, now
I
did go down to a city council meeting, and all of the council members appeared to be
in support of
the new art scene.
We had heard that 2.5 years ago, the Portland camping ordinance was completely thrown out by local judges, but still police are
continuing to harass homeless
people.
And it's up to every single artist. And I have been a starving and homeless artist. And I have never gotten out and cried, oh, support my art, blah, blah, blah. The way I see it is, you know, we're in a free, you know, a relatively free society.
But other than
if you want to be in the arts and you want to be in
the
arts,
problem,
it's the one tough bag. And if you want to be in the more it goes against you, the stronger you're going to get and the stronger you're going to get.
That's not crying. Don't accept that. I'm not saying crying. Oh, support my art. I'm saying getting into the motherfucking face and stuffing it up their fucking throat and saying, I am sick of your fucking bullshit. I'm sick of you selling these little dolls or whatever you're doing when I don't even have fucking money to make my art, goddammit. I am mad about that. It's not even just Emily Riley. It's a whole fucking cast and a class of people
exactly.
Who are exploiting others in our fucking local community. And I don't want to fucking shake their hand, and I'm not going to, man.
I'm not asking you to, but with the arts, you can go to Hazmat and they open a program in Santa Cruz. You can go over to any major city. Albuquerque just opened one. You can get free paint. You can get canvas.
They won't be arresting you for sleeping in your vehicle when you go home at night.
That's cool, and anything you say, though, about the situation is going to be, I mean, it's a fucked up situation, and there's really no way you can turn it around. Our society is based on making money, not only
militarily,
but selling rolls and making money on fucking food.
Portland,
do
you have a good indie media coverage? You have free radio station up there that's covering your own struggle?
And they fucking tell what to do, and to make the rolls for them, so that they can make some money. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying that the people that receive you are really making money off of just telling them it's not a chance. Okay, you're working within the system, but I still think you're taking my money, my blood, volunteers, my fucking life away. So you could live in a nice home. Fuck that. Can we cut you off without being accused of being extremely, I wish we were doing this in Santa Cruz. I'm Santa Cruz, are having these extremely bigorously back in the union when the air war against
Blocking the bridges other than making a statement? I mean, are you stopping military traffic? Are you inhibiting the war effort? Are you just, are you just sort of alerting the population, giving people who, I mean, this is after work, too, so as soon as those people are going to a night job, it's not stopping that kind of business as usual.
I think it's stopping business as usual for a lot of things.
It's stopping people from getting to where they want to go. It's stopping the people who chose to go to work today to get home. And it is stopping the so-called progressive ideals that they started. And I've seen this happen again and again in San Francis. And simply telling people, go to city council is really a recipe for exhausting people. Because going to city council is useless if, for example, most of the citizens are in enclosed sessions. Or you can't cannot get to
Iraq,
them at committee meetings. Like Emily Riley's got to bring forth a proposal
will make a
to
very strong
substitute
to the
for the Citizens Police Review
the
Board
an
auditor
who
will be able to come here twice a month to Santa Cruz, look over the police, and if you got a complaint, you talk to him. Well, before you had a board of citizens who, ineffectual as they generally were trying to look at police review policies around racial profiling, selective enforcement, downtown, other things. Because they were, they are gone. They used the budget as an excuse to get rid of them. Emily Riley was at the head of this. She held, the meetings she held to set up this new system were completely private. No members of the public, no members of the Citizens Police Review Board were invited to the so-called ad hoc, I guess a budget crisis committee that she called. I asked her repeatedly, publicly, when is your next meeting? She said, I'll phone you, I'll tell you, I don't know, and I never got a damn phone call from her, nor did anyone else I know. So you have to realize that the same people who give you a pretty smile and march in front of the peace parade, if they are politicians, watch out. I'm not trying to split up. I'm not, it's different when you're talking about,
we don't want the Trotskyists,
we don't want the Stalinists, we don't want the Maoists. No, no. That
Sia?
Any individuals
yeah.
who
like
are
Sierra.
Active
gotcha.
In fighting for war
Sierra,
and justice, I don't care what their ideology
is, you to
they deserve
with
a place.
I guess people can reach you by going onto the Portland
Indian
website or can at least
jump on board.
Frankly,
I didn't think Emily was a political
person. The Portland Intermediate will be covering the news. That's
like
correct.
The middle,
that's
the
where you're
going to
get most of the real
the
news reports.
Thing just
and
KBOO
Radio,
and
but
and
I don't know if that's internet friendly. It's
so
another place that you can go get
patience.
More.
You use that phrase. I like
that.
Getting the middle of the budget a little, but I wonder about it because I think the way you got the middle of the budget a little was you frightened that there was going to be a major eruption of. Well, there was a major eruption over
the
Vietnam situation. Of course, there were bomb bans.
Gotcha.
You think
we only have one line into the studio, so if anybody else is calling, we have to.
Kind of powerful about the current anti-war movement is it isn't just the people that are considered radicals that are showing up at the meeting. There's a lot more of middle America coming out.
And call again on tomorrow if you'd like.
Okay, even though we're 41st outside the recruiting office, you know, there were some yahoos driving by saying, get a job! And
yeah, that was
like
Portland,
that.
Oregon,
so
calling in,
and
support.
Yeah, most were honking and supportive, but
I guess
the point was, you know, many of us do have jobs,
throughout the day
and
have been shut
we're
down,
not at our jobs today because we're out
currently still
protesting,
shut down.
And we won't let,
you
know, we won't be branded as losers without jobs, there's nothing better to do than, you know, protest our government.
Eager
I
to
think
start flooding
the
us
extent
with
to which the Bush administration
articles,
has,
we'll
you know,
see if we'll let him even say a word tonight.
Demonstrated that it.
In any case, you can say a word.
You know,
the phone line is open.
Really
I don't know for how long that's going
to
happen. 427-3772.
Traditionally,
there
are
numerous
I think it's really
marches marching around
class,
town. I mean,
that's great, and I think it's important that we don't come off as too bitter and radical against people that have businesses and stuff, because that will alienate them, and we need to be united
here. You know
what
I'm criticizing for? There's a great difference between locking down an intersection and having a
tyrant that we have at the helm right now.
I take a different view, but I understand.
But indeed, I think people may be staying the night at the town
clock. I think unity is important. You know, people are at different levels in their understanding, and we shouldn't get holier than thou about,
but
we know more and you guys don't know what's happened.
I think it's holier than now. I think it's more you have to call a spade, and bullshit,
Emily
bullshit,
Riley
when it comes
is walking
down,
around
and not
town
pretend it's not. So that's the
protest,
problem.
Looks pretty
for people, for you to suggest that reasonable dialogue with Emily Riley is going for these meaningful change at a local level, I think bespeaks naively about the situation.
No, but reasonable dialogue with reasonable people who
were
in mass
canceled it because she said there were
in mass,
30 vacant spaces in the auditorium with 500 in the Del Mar Theater, and therefore it wasn't worth doing, and she didn't want to tie up the Civic Auditorium. I continue to criticize on that issue because we need it now, but
now that we are in World War II and the Pacific,
in the middle of it,
all my
we
got to
do it
with
or without the politicians,
right,
and we
got to
do it, I think, ourselves.
Serious
Jeffrey, any thoughts about what you've seen
Cal,
in the last couple of days on the protest
student,
front?
And if you got,
well,
you've had scholarships
got,
and you got involved, you lost your scholarship and you were going to be the next body bag coming
5 o'clock this afternoon.
And
the
kids need to know that.
Santa Cruz, California.
Well,
spring came.
Again, because
I remember there was something called Springtime for Hitler,
drafted.
Some kind of a play or something like that.
If you were out of school, you were drafted first because you were feeling positive. So there was a fine line there.
And, of course,
and
I saw you this morning
and they
making
were fighting,
sure
my brother
that
was political science
no
and
one
major, and they came back and they debated
to join the United States military here in Santa Cruz, California.
And he was staying out of the war, but he didn't want to go, and he was staying in school.
Robert, that Mayor Emily Riley when he was going to get the scholarship or not was for water polo. At her
and he used to surf out at the lane here a lot and had huge lungs. And he was in the library with the kids who were scholarship kids studying.
Because as you know,
and Reagan
there was
the National Guard
on the 18th,
and
the president, we now know, on the night of September
and
the 11th, 2001, according to my sources, told his father, his mother, his wife,
and
his
thing
daughters
you know, the
that he believed
got
at that moment
picking up
that
girls
we
and them out
definitely
the
had,
said,
to
Dad,
go
had to break
and,
the windows because they couldn't breathe.
Unilaterally,
we had to get them out of
necessary,
there. And on the,
on
the news it said,
Iraq.
Students tear
so,
up library. And I mean, my parents,
week.
You don't tear up library.
Hi, you're on the air with Jeffrey and Robert.
No way. They were
the
for
the
Yeah, they were for the poor. My dad did one thing. Some of the things
I
would get was that education
was
poor to the top. That's what he did. And that is when that flashed when my dad knew the spade wasn't the spade of education was going to the line. He got involved, and like you, Robert, he barrel-chested, big Irish man who could shout anybody down because he was top of the class and debating and all that. But one thing he did is he had contacted all the Catholic schools because that's what we were involved in. He got every single parent on the phone.
Is that right? I don't know.
I don't know.
It must have lasted 6 months. You know, enough. But then it finally changed. Yeah, and the kids need to know that these sorts of things take time, and we as kids are people who forgot the recent past or haven't experienced, you know, a tear gas in the event, or I used to get driven up there as a little, you know, first grader, second grader to get him out of the fraternities on the weekends to, like, you know, just... take the pressure off, and another time they arrested they circled the whole neighborhood like all of downtown Santa Cruz, arrested or had them all come out of their homes, laid them in the field, and held guns to their heads, and for hours, and one guy died because he didn't get his insulin shot.
It
was right before people
smoked. You know, the same thing happened to my fellow homeless activist Linda Edwards in 1992 when there was a mass protest against the Rodney King shooting. She tried to get away from an area, as did I, and the police blocked up both areas and arrested us.
Going on, but
she sued,
did, you
and
know,
she came away with a couple thousand dollars,
died
so keep that in mind.
And then my brother was leaving an area where they were starting to riot because the troops were antagonizing these people. And they shot a guy next to him, and he had to pull him into a Dodge Dart and sit there for 5 hours right with the guy bleeding to death. Now, that could have been my brother, and that's when my parents got even more involved. And it was wrong. But you see, Ohio State, it took 5 years for the Wave
to
get
to
Ohio State.
Going home to get some
now, with the
rest,
net,
well,
we're talking
actually,
a different story. I mean, to see it go from, you know, handing out a peace thing the day after September 11th, knowing there was more behind this, because there always is, there's a naivety level of change. We're lucky. But the kids, but the young ones don't have any reference. They don't even know who Richard Nixon is or Daniel Ellsberg.
But the question,
yeah, although they're showing up on Democracy Now! And WWE show, which is on this network, by the way, on Free Radio Santa Cruz, which you're listening to.
And you said they reserved a special building to hold
people in? 427-3772 is our call-in. In the studio with us is Cordelia Clancy and, of course, the notorious Matt Fitzgerald, a artist
right
and, I'm not going to say kung fu expert because you probably know more than kung fu. But,
you tell you, but then I have to kill you a little bit.
We're going to observe a death of a broadcaster in a moment. What kind of self-defense do you teach? And you think that would be useful for protesters dealing with National Guard units assigned to, should we say, stop those vicious protesters from blocking San Francisco intersection, which hasn't happened yet, by the way, as far as I know. Hold that thought. We're going to go to a caller. Callers get first priority
NBC
here.
Tom Brokaw, that,
hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Have actually
boy, I tell you, I am just an American citizen. Just so sick and outraged by what's going on.
Is that, you think that's discouraging people,
you know,
or do you think people are still coming out?
I just don't know.
I think if anything, this only makes a revolutionary out of anybody arrested today. If somebody knows that they
possibly not telling us all the truth.
John F. Kennedy once said that those who make peaceful protests inevitable are impossible, make violent revolution inevitable.
And so forth. And you know that the majority of Americans are watching that.
But what
they're
I'm
getting
saying
brainwashed.
Is that somebody who's arrested
and,
today for like a 10-year-old kid
the only thing that's
heartening
me
in this crowd
right now is
for
that,
peacefully making his point,
you know,
he's only going to be more determined
that wouldn't exactly
in weeks
call
after
a
and days
paper.
After
the internet
to go
is there, too.
And use
I mean, that's
other ways
everybody has a computer, so that's
Caller,
the beginning
did you see
of
any any of
changed.
The
by
lockdown
the way, what we're talking about
situations
that,
where people
kind of www.santacruz.ndmedia is a great website.
Can you describe what that's like for those of us down here who haven't been through the experience?
Okay, well,
Cordelia has a comment for what you said so far.
Yeah, I'd just like to relay a little anecdote I heard on Friday from an Apple computer employee that I know. One of his colleagues took the day off to go to San Francisco and protest the war and witnessed a rather interesting event that was slanted by CNN. He saw a guy in a Jeep amid the protesters putting his Jeep in forward and reverse and forward and reverse, just hitting protesters. And obviously people in the crowd got very upset about this, and a couple of people opened the door, pulled the guy out, and gave him a good smack, you know. And, but he said that night when he got home on CNN, he saw just the footage of the guy being dragged out of the Jeep and being smacked around by protesters.
And CNN
saying, oh, protesters beat up, you know, motorists. But they didn't say that he was trying to run over, you know.
One thing that was very, very evident in the Vietnam protests in New York and Berkeley and other cities, and there are many people who attest to this, is that they'd be protesting and walking down, and the next thing you know, somebody's beating somebody up, and their coat flies open and has a CIA badge. So you need, when you go to a protest, to always bring a camera and take care of everybody who's instigating, take pictures, take photos of their license plates, because more than likely, the one who's being the biggest problem is probably not a peace protester, it's probably a plant.
We also heard of one person being killed
and some of them are outraged individuals who are tired of peaceful marches that seem to go nowhere. That's the problem. Peaceful meaning, you know, we all go out, we march, and then we all go home and wait for another 2 weeks to see more bombing. And that's a problem, too. I mean, somebody wants to stop business as usual.
So
you think that this is creating, certainly creating more determination among the people who are arrested? Is it creating determination, you think, among the populace generally? Are people saying, oh, these damn protesters are stopping from getting to my shopping, into my job, or they're saying right on for the protesters? What's your sense?
Well, I think it's pretty diverse, but I think if anybody really looks at the situation right now, we're not in a situation where we're going to be able to convince everybody in the U.S. public about opposition to war, and I think today people realize that the only way that they're going to effectively make a point and effectively have a cause against the war is doing civil disobedience and direct action.
New York City,
you know,
100,000
or more.
Washington,
D.C.,
otherwise.
But it would really take a mass demonstration in Washington, D.C., and people actually breaking through police lines and actually getting into the White House. And you know there's going to be people shot if that happens.
Anybody that goes into jail
that would be
a
revolution.
Going to
come out as a revolutionary. Own people.
What's up for tomorrow? Any updates for us on that?
According to some of the independent media websites, there's a talk of at 6:30 in the morning, people are going to try and shut down the Pacific Stock Exchange, which is located on 220 Bush Street in San Francisco.
There's
street fighting going on.
And so you're inviting people from Santa Cruz to come up and do that?
Are they moved into Bowser? I thought that they were keeping their distance and circling all these
there's another march that's going to start at 7 p.m.
Have you done any protesting, caller yourself? Have you done much protesting yourself in the last couple weeks?
My only protesting is on the side of my car. I tape on the inside of the window.
Either 12 or 11 o'clock on Saturday.
Has anybody broken
your
window yet?
No.
So I guess people can get this information by going to www.sfindymedia.org.
Correct, yes.
So that's, and we have, of course, the Santa Cruz Indie Media website, too.
We do as well, yeah.
Anybody you want to say hello to down here? Anything else you want to add?
I just want to say everybody that's out on the street.
Caller, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, don't give up. The small action, it's amazing. In 1966, the summer of 66, I was like a little kid and making flower crowns, and this tall blonde came over and says, how do you do that? My parents never showed us, and I showed her. And all the girls in the circle made these flower chains for their hair. And it was a Friday afternoon. The next thing, there's a photographer going, and, you know, nice day in the park, spring, go take a picture. And they jumped overseas and go, what are you guys? Off the top of her head, she says, we're flower children. He says, what's that? You know, and she's thinking off something, you know, the moment, oh, well, we're going to be against the war. Well, so that little tiny action went all over the world. So you need to know that little person, your little sticker, is going to make people act and react, and you just got every little pebble rocks a pond. You just have to remember that.
Over to San Jose. Around the Campbell area.
We're about to close down the Bay Bridge, believe it or not.
How many are you? And are you actually on the bridge, or are you?
I've seen a lot of that in Capitola.
Thank you
for calling in.
I'm going to push you off here so I can pull in some other callers.
But call again if you'd like.
What does the march look like?
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and again, the phone number is 831-427-3772. In the studio with us, the notorious Cordelia Clancy, and the even more notorious Matt Fitzgerald, who I never heard of before a week ago, but that just shows you how ignorant I am.
I'd like to make another comment, actually, about media coverage regarding this war on quote-unquote terrorism.
What does the sign say?
On September 11th, 2001, actually, as the towers were burning, I got a call from the Silicon Valley Business Journal asking for my commentary on the events. And this is because I had just written an article before then regarding executive security traveling abroad for Americans. Now, it's very interesting because my comments were something like, well, obviously, this is really horrific for everybody involved.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. It looks like everybody but the Santa Cruz contingent is calling
in
here. Although I guess we did have a skid mark call in.
It's
all about people standing up and saying no to war, trying to find more and more effective ways to say no to war, because apparently pleasant marches for an afternoon that come and go aren't enough.
One of the things that
on Free Radio.
All right, I'm here.
This was in
1970. It's about time you showed up there. Are we going to identify who you are, or should you remain a secret?
You can tell by the accent.
Hey,
I like to say she.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you been listening to us?
Were you teaching self-defense before you came over?
So where are you?
That's good. How about sushi now? Newly marketed on Cafe Campesino.
Yeah, one of the first impressions I got of America was,
got a protest.
You know, very nice people, but also pretty apathetic and kind of clueless about foreign events, you know. Not just Texas, though, in California. And obviously, listening to the station are on a different level. If they're listening to this, they're not...
I'm almost there. Maybe I can call you back in a few minutes.
Sounds good.
By the traditional media.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
But,
I used to wonder how can such
ignorance
you've been
much apathy
patiently, so zip
not
in what you'd like to say here before you get cut off the caller.
So when September 11th happened,
I
want to
reflect a little more about Mayor Emily Riley, because
I think on
World War III
personal level,
continued
what
last
terrorism
night, the Mayor of Berkeley, California, spent last night in a homeless shelter. And the San Francisco Chronicle reported on the Ides of March, Saturday, March 15th,
that the mayors have gone homeless
at least for
one
night.
I'm not against voting, but I think you've got to vote every day with what you do, not just wait for the government-sponsored plebiscites that happen every year.
George Livingston and the current mayor of Portland, Maine, Karen Garrity.
People just kind of took that off the butt, as it were. Maybe everybody made a ruckus
if,
and called on
the mayor of Santa Cruz, California.
Representatives to say, "Hey, what's going on here?"
She's a good person, Emily Riley,
this is crazy that
the
White House
City Council, Mike Rotkin and others,
like this,
with
irregularities just like
Easter
blatant.
Coming up and Passover coming
what
up, if
very,
they would understand
that
we,
what about Santa Cruz?
Who have been homeless in the past,
on the scene here. What are we going to do?
7,300 homeless people in this county.
Stop the invasion,
need
stop
for
the
them
occupation,
to fully
stop
understand
the war,
that you cannot
internationally,
possibly
locally,
what it's like
the poor.
To be homeless in the streets, in your vehicle, unless you go into a homeless shelter in Santa Cruz, California. And I suggest that they stay there not just for a night, Robert, but I think it would be good during spring break for a week or two if Mayor Emily and Mike Rotkin and others would do this. How do you feel about that?
The problem, of course, with that is that the homeless so-called shelters, which we're talking about, the floors of churches, that's the only homeless shelters.
Well,
and
the armory, here's a flash. The armory will be open until April 15th. It was going to close March 15th.
No road schedule
funding, but it will not. You will not be open this weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, you are shit out of luck. So hit the streets, and if you get a ticket, you can later get it revoked. That isn't going
to
be very nice anyway, and not going to help you a lot as they come harassing.
Press release
you,
out
you should probably tell the police, the armory is closed, get away, leave me alone, let me go back to bed, unless
and,
you have some
know,
other concern.
Kids
but the answer is, there is room for these politicians as far as I'm concerned.
Thing.
I like the idea. I mean,
they're not
going to
arrest a five-year-old for chalking the
street,
but let me tell you, that five-year-old for
Chalk,
seven-year-old, they're under a lot of stress. If you let them out to chalk, they just think that they're
arrest the story and
are going to make a difference.
I'm sorry, a critical
five-year-old get out there and do
the
chalking. You know, maybe the bikers get on your bike. And do the flowers
Lonnie Hancock's
the floors,
husband,
you know, sell some flower
has been severely criticized by Berkeley activists for his attitude towards the Berkeley
heaven knows
peace
what,
camp,
and they're
I should
have
say,
to get out
it's a peace camp, or that tent
a
city
sticky
that the Berkeley homeless activists have erected, because since there
so
is an adequate shelter, people have to have the right to shelter themselves. They do shelter themselves one way or another. And the idea that the same liberals that are denouncing the war in Iraq for creating thousands and ten thousands of homeless refugees
I don't know,
and bombing
I have fantasies
that,
of, you know, the UN stepping in. I know, fantasies.
Putin has requested,
but,
security council meeting
what facilities
General Assembly
those people
have under pressure from his own.
At the same time,
legislature, the
criminalizing
there,
people in their own cities, such as in Santa
Iraq,
Cruz, Emily Riley, has criminalized
come
people in their vehicles by supporting
so
this. I'm not sure what her latest position is on it, but if she does the same that she did at Harvey West with the no parking stuff,
and of the UN Security
supporting
Council
a citywide
not to accept
no
the status
permit,
quo in Iraq,
I'm sorry, permits for everyone, or you don't get even to park your vehicle, much less sleep in your vehicle. So if you scurry off to the bushes and hide and sleep, your vehicle can get to it while you're gone. So
deliver us from our tyrant,
you know, it's very nice. I'm afraid, though, it becomes a political
rationale
opportunity
for, war is
for
to
the politicians,
go in
but,
and
you know, it might be one that we could
use. That might use weapons against somebody else.
It's
like,
strikes
like,
on
it's like, you know,
I
surround the White House and
April
tell Bush
15th,
to beat it, you know,
or
resign, like we're trying to force
Cruz,
down
California
to say that, like,
no longer going
save
to
us
run
from
buses
our own tyrannical
up to the armory, so right after the mayor, I wish he wouldn't pay her taxes.
Armory closes April 15th.
Well, okay, well, that's even worse, right. So, in other words, you know, I'm suggesting that everyone withhold their taxes. The Good Times had a cover story that came out today, 10 things that you need to do right now to become a peace activist. And so I definitely urge the mayor and Mike Rotkin and every member of the city council, the board of supervisors, and Sam Farr to go on national television and say that they will not pay any taxes to the government, and I want to see them get their phone bills out of their office and not pay that little excise tax. So the bottom line is that if the time has come for people really to take action. The mayor of San Francisco, California, Willie Brown, actually went on television last week and said that he wants Gavin Newsom to be the next mayor of San Francisco.
Gag me.
Yeah. And Newsom is one of the worst scoundrels dealing with the homeless issue.
Our own local scoundrels, Emily Riley, Mike Rotkin, Kennedy, Porter, all these clowns, of course, are more my concern. Newsom, of course, at least has some meaningful opposition up there. But these people in the city council, you know, they are, as long as they say we're against the war in Iraq, you know, suddenly they're untouchable. That's the problem I have with these people, that, you know, as long as they support, you know, civil rights for Colombians, then it's okay. But we have no interest, apparently, And I think a lot of people actually do have an interest in civil rights for homeless people here. It's just, how do you manifest it? And I think the basic thing is you cannot principally ask for peace in Iraq unless you also, and justice in Iraq, if you're not also asking for peace and justice here. Other, if you are simply asking, maybe if you're an Iraqi exile, I guess, and you're going back there, but if you're some person who lives here and you're supposedly concerned about human rights, you have to look next door down the street and see the individuals who are getting arrested for chalking on the sidewalk, political slogans, ticketed for chalking and then taken to jail and then fined. You have to look at the situation of people who get arrested for sitting near the side of a building, the people who get jacked up by police who suddenly tell them in downtown Santa Cruz yesterday, you're going to hear that on this tape that I'm going to be playing, that they need ID. They have to show ID. This is the United States, 2003. Supposedly there's still a constitution operative in some formalistic way at least, but no, you need ID. No.
And how about the T-shirt situation, Robert? It's been getting national attention. Are we going to get to a point in this police state where,
talking Santa Cruz, and nobody's been arrested for T-shirts, but they have been arrested for hacky sack. I mean, they've been warned and threatened with tickets for hacky sack for bouncing a rubber ball downtown. We got an incoming call here. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, this is Sierra again from Portland. I'm just calling to let you know the Burnside Bridge is completely taken.
Cool.
And also, people have now gone down and they're blocking freeway traffic.
Freeway traffic?
Freeway traffic
wow.
is being blocked, and it is unprecedented
in
many ways.
To me.
I don't believe this kind of action has ever been done before.
It is happening
now.
And
there are
lucky.
Hundreds of people going down right
lucky.
Now, taking
no
all, they're
that.
Going to take all
and
the freeways.
One
this
step
is
at a time,
the five. They're going to take
they're out of work right now, and now
how many
the
lanes?
Oh,
how many
well, the war will make jobs. Well, the people who were retired from the last war in the 70s, who were actually the arms designers,
wow.
when the whole valley was running off
like
arms, where they
the
realized that it was just
taken.
Making recessionary, continuous recessionary economics, and the businesses were making it in the late 70s and early 80s, conscious decisions to get away from that type of business because they didn't want these Houston valleys. And now they're saying, oh, well, we have jobs here. But no one realizes the booking is taking the people who need jobs are web people.
Well,
they're
you
not
hear that? You hear that, Santa Cruz? Portland can take a freeway with 100
get out.
People. If you have 500 people marching in Santa Cruz, why can't you do that?
The five south there taking
yeah, I received
the
an email
freeway
from
in Portland right now on the five south
that
requesting with 100 people.
That's great.
Somebody get hit?
They're out there pretty much on the front lines trying to help with infrastructure repair and making sure that people of Iraq on the grassroots level have food and have clean water. And I know that so many of us are sick about what our government is doing over there and how innocent children are being harmed. And I've got tears in my eyes reading reports and looking at pictures of little kids, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. And they're laughing and they're playing
and
this is last week. Playing among
so
the
Sierra, are you on the freeway yourself right now?
I am not on the freeway myself. I am on the bridge looking down on the freeway.
And
it's
we
dark
really feel
up
like
there,
we
right?
want to do something
it is
and make
dark
a difference,
right now.
I think
it is
if you can afford
the moon
to donate, it will make you feel
where
better.
Is the moon?
It definitely made
me
feel better, and it will go
in
the front line. I think, I don't know what else we can do with this, but... One other concern I have
well, Sierra,
is,
this is great.
That there's another element of
the
American psyche that everyone loves to be a winner,
stop,
right?
Stop
and if we go
war,
in and
stop
bomb the shit out of Baghdad,
that's why I'm calling you from Portland to let you know what we're
you know, I just worry that
here.
People are
going to
be waiting. It's like saying, hey, hey, we won, like, it's a Super Bowl game.
This is people showing up on their own. This has not been organized ahead of time. We are doing it together. This is an action taking place in solidarity together. And this has not been planned or organized. This has not been planned or organized at all.
I've heard shots in my neighborhood. Most of people sitting in their armchair warriors, the songos or whatever, watching that war. It's not a video game.
Thank you, Sierra.
And there's been murders on my street. I've experienced urban warfare and then at birth. And that's a rare person that in America even believes what is truth in my reality. And,
getting
out in any way possible. Even if you just send a card to your friends and say, Granny, can you read this book,
The
Secret War Against the Jews, and find out about Johnson and Kennedy and Prescott Bush and Rockefeller and how far this goes back. I was at an event the other day, and a guy in the National Guard came up to me and he couldn't tell me his name or anything.
And this is why I encouraged Kidnap Bob to try to get someone on the phone to talk about connections with freeway Bin Laden and the mention of 9/11 way back then.
And also,
I don't have a lot of
yeah, not to be too naive that there's all this communication in the world.
There,
this government is telling us they didn't know.
I'm
going
to return the focus
around,
to the local
distributing
scene
flyers
again,
and
also what we can do, because I enjoy the discussions about general considerations and about supporting charities and about informing your friends and all that sort of thing, which I think you should do. I think it's a good idea.
Ironically,
that's not going to, I don't know what is going to stop the war, and certainly one of the things that might help stop the war, but I'm looking for, I guess, ideas from new callers
and
encouraged and embedded Iraq's invasion of Kuwait.
But yeah, you know, nothing wrong with that. There's no election scheduled for the next few months.
You know,
so it's okay to just put everything on hold until the next election, obviously not.
It happened on pretext,
you know,
the claim that the Iraqis were going to move into Saudi Arabia, that they were close to the Saudi Arabian border, that there were thousands there when there was, what, 200 or something, and
it
was a bogus story by Bush. And Bush's
but I hope you are
going to
call in because we have some interesting guests. What I'm going to do now is switch to a little
Musica
here. This is Phil Oak talking about another war in San Domingo in 1965, but it has a strange haunting sound to it.
By the, what is it, the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador. You know, there was a lot of anger about this, and people spilled onto the freeways, and not just in 1991, they did it again in 1992. This is an even more egregious and dangerous unilateral act of aggression by the United States. And yet people are still kind of, you know, lighting candles at the town clock and, you know, walking to the county building and, you know, beating on a pot and pan, you know, and kind of standing in front of the recruiting center. And you know, it's, I do these things too, and I haven't walked out in front of the freeway, so, you know, it's, who am I to talk, but I just... I mean, I kind of I hope we get some spirit from the Sierra of Portland and from the activists in San Francisco. What do you think, Jeffrey?
Well, I think it was there's deja vu here that when I picked up the New York Times this morning, there was a half a page obituary involving, in my opinion, one of the most courageous people of my lifetime. Herbert Aptheker died. His daughter, Bettina, is a professor here at the University of California at Santa Cruz.
Bettina will come out against the sleeping van. Aptheker, that's the one?
That's correct. Her father actually, in many ways, was far more radical than Bettina. And the bottom line is 11 million Americans on one given weekend last month, all over the country in all 50 states, marched for peace. And the fact that the president chose to start this war game under the full moon, he also decided to start it during spring vacation, spring breaks. And during the Vietnam War, in my opinion, when the students finally caught on and really protested, that helped bring an end to the war. And right now, what's going on in Portland and here and around the country, I think could make the difference. The students need to do it.
So you're on the air.
I'm glad that old bastard died.
Which one was that? Oh, Herbert. Actually, I liked Herbert, but I didn't know him personally, but I liked some of his
ready
writing, definitely.
For the trick.
The lines are open for those who wish to honor the dead or dishonor the dead, as the case may be. 427-3772 is the call line. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. On the line here, I should say, in the studio, is Jeffrey Gale and Robert Norris. That's me. Bathrobes Pierre. I'm the man that hasn't yet whipped out my bathrobe for this protest, but you never can tell when I might do that. And watch out. Again, the point being that we don't just want to fight the war in Iraq. Stop that war in Iraq, I should say, fight the war machine that's doing the war in Iraq. We have to fight our domestic repression machine that is every day harassing and criminalizing poor homeless people all over the country, and specifically in Santa Cruz. I want to kind of run through a couple of stories, but I guess we've been doing a lot of talking, and I'm thinking maybe it might be good to take a brief musical break and find appropriate music for that purpose. What have I got here?
In the red
younger
square,
than springtime. Something like that.
South Pacific.
Spring training.
Right.
March Madness.
Every sprung.
Fall has fell. Bush has come.
The
for whom will the bell toll?
He's taking us all to hell.
Right.
Is this unfortunate story. Let's give a little of ineffable, or should we say, endless
Domingo. up and down the coast. The generals drink a toast, the wheel is spinning. And the cowards and the whores are peeking through the doors to see who's winning. But the traitors will pretend that it's getting near the end when it's beginning. The Marines have landed on shore, and coming up.
So we'll bomb your schools and hospitals. Make sure you live in liberty. And all you evil doers.
All right, you're back at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Or hopefully you've been here all the time at 96.3 FM. We, of course, joined. The studio's being packed with people. Nutcracker Nick has just joined us. And you can't shut this guy up. You try, but it's really hard. But we hope we can get you to speak out, because this is Free Radio. This is where you get
San Francisco
an opportunity
man,
to talk to the rest
sir.
Of us. What are we going to do to stop?
Are you there?
Stuff
hello,
next
yeah.
week.
Okay, what's happening in San Francisco?
Of course, there's been massive disruptions up in San Francisco of business as usual. I guess, 2,200 people?
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure, probably more arrested
the
up there. Convoys going from
yeah,
the county buildings, I understand, every day at 10 a.m. That was at least the decision
bridge.
That
wow.
people were making.
You
know, the resources
were closing down the bridge, actually.
7 o'clock. Meeting
good copy
of
us. Like, we wanted to do it, so they did it for us.
So that you're teaching them.
Yeah, we're helping them.
Peace organizations
uh-huh.
that came
well,
on
good.
Friday
getting
night
enlisting
when I was
the
there.
We just
follow
the police
Saturday
helicopters around,
Joe Williams,
because we know that's
report.
What actions
I'm going to now play
you still got,
some
what,
interviews
several hundred
from
people?
Pound
how many people you got on the march?
Last night, my endless monologue.
Is correct, yeah, but the cops are surrounding us and fragmenting us and breaking us up.
We might have to boot somebody out of the studio in a minute.
Soon they'll be
breaking
our ribs, but I say that because I just saw a young female jabbed
he's there, all right. So, again, if you want to call in,
427-3773.
Again, if you want to keep an eye on what's going on in San Francisco,
has there been much in the way of property,
property
damage on the protest?
I've not seen any property damage all day, as a matter of fact.
The clip of the,
interesting.
The Jeep going back and forth. And
yeah.
How are the media covering? You got NBC in there that's
hitting
little wagon? Or?
There's a lot of media today, but I don't...
Precursor, go to the media website, www.santacruz.indymedia.
What about those pro-war protesters? Have you seen any of them today?
www.santacruz.indymedia.org. And from there you can find indymedia websites throughout the country and throughout the world. And go see what's happening locally.
How many people from Santa Cruz are up there trying to shut down the Bay Bridge?
Or French,
I have no
or
idea.
Russian, but there's often
else?
Translations on these websites, so you can check them out. And that is your way of getting more direct information. I know there's a lot of mistrust about what sources to trust and so forth, and that's always a good caution. But the way you learn how to, what sources to trust are, you continue to investigate.
We're talking to a Santa Cruz
sources.
Protesters up in San Francisco helping to shut down the bridge.
A decision based on. I want to remind you that in the studio with us, we do have someone who is going to beat the gaga out of me if I don't behave here. That's Cordelia Clancy. That's if I assault her. They may be assaulting Iraq, but they sure as hell ain't going to assault Cordelia here, because she'll show them a thing or two. And Madison may have a thing or two to say about that, too. Madison's an artist. Cordelia is an artist in the art of self-defense.
They're big, tough women.
And,
watch out now. They're big and they're tough.
And Nick here is, it's hard to describe what Nick is. He's a playwright, and as you can see, he's always writing and babbling on occasion as well. So you can call in and talk to all of us, but right now it's going to be some stuff from the town clock, because the town hall, or I should say, the town clock peace vigil is to me one of the, it's an action I've closely associated myself with, at least in terms of writing for it. I wrote a press release for it last night, I and activist Becky Johnson got together and reported what was going on down there. There was a threat that the town clock vigil was going to be dispersed by the police, because there are, can you believe this, homeless people sleeping at the vigil. It's illegal in Santa Cruz to sleep.
Homeless people in the vigil.
After 11 o'clock at night, it's illegal to sleep at night, and it should be illegal to do certain other things
we'll
in the studio. We're going to work on that. That's a $162 crime if you camp, a $54 crime if you sleep. And apparently Lieutenant Patty Sapone last, 24 hours ago, threatened everybody with sleeping tickets. But, of course, that didn't disperse dedicated people. And also people who are, shall we say, concerned about their own safety, because there have been attacks on homeless people and their vehicles in other parts of town. And I haven't gotten a lot of specifics about this. Anyway, we're going to play some of this tape,
And you'll be able to, from the very comfort and warmth of your own home or perhaps your own little corner of the sidewalk with your portable radio, you can hear the folks at the Town Clock last night and me chatting away. Okay, well, it looks like it's around nearing 11 o'clock at night. That's the witching hour for homeless people in Santa Cruz, where it becomes illegal to sleep. I'm at the Town Clock on Saturday night, March 22nd, 2003, and with me is an anomalous spokesperson. Actually, he's simply a man who speaks for himself. You were up in San Francisco today.
Absolutely, up at the march and rally in San Francisco today.
And how long, when did that start? When did you get up?
I got up there about 12:30. It started at 12 noon. I got there about half hour after it started. Yeah. It was just amazing. As soon as I got there, I started seeing the protesters everywhere I looked, up and down, right and left, all around. And I could start to feel the energy. People were extremely angry, and I could feel that different from the other protests that have happened. It was not so much just a positive feeling, but that positivity was also had turned into a lot of anger, that people feel like they've been betrayed by this government. People feel like that this government does not represent them, that they're not being listened to, and you could tell there was a lot of sadness. There was a full range of emotions, and the vast amount of people that were on the streets was just incredible. I mean, it actually appeared like the people were coming out of the woodwork from everywhere against this evil war.
So you went to the Civic Center?
Exactly, Civic Center, and then there were some all kinds of different splinter marches and different actions all around the city.
And what did you, which splinter march did you go on yourself?
Well, we went on one that was actually organized by International Answer, and it was over to the Rainbow Grocery Store. And one of the things that they were asking the Rainbow Grocery Store to do was for them to divest from Israel and to stop funding the genocide of the Palestinian people.
What did the Rainbow Grocery Store say?
I don't know. At that point, I was exhausted, and I started talking to some people and passing out deception dollars in the aisles of the Rainbow Grocery Store for about 2 hours. And then I got a kombucha mushroom tea and started drinking that and revived myself. And by that time, the 200-plus police that had escorted us so kindly over to the Rainbow Grocery
Store. How many were you?
There was about probably 150 of us.
So you had more police to demonstrate?
There were so many police that it was incredible. I heard it was the same special forces that were just the other day were beating people and harassing people, and there's currently a lawsuit in progress against those police officers.
So after your Rainbow Grocery adventure, what happened? Did you just come back?
I just wandered back to my car. On the way back, I met all kinds of nice folks who had heard about the rally or saw it on TV or heard it on the radio, and gave them deception dollars so they could get on the websites and find out for themselves what's really going on.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back.
Awesome. Great to be back.
Joseph Schultz, you're here at 11 o'clock with, what have you got with you this time?
We got some hot coffee cake and some coffee, condiments, a little something. We've all got blood in our hands.
Did you bring on any tranquilizers for the pro-war protesters that seem to be multiplying like rats? Well, as you will.
Feed them sugar.
Feed them sugar, my goodness. Yeah. Is that good for rats?
Sweeten their disposition.
Ah, yeah. I see. It's sort of using the coffee and donuts approach. Yeah. It's had questionable results in L.A. with the police.
We can't stop trying just because the things that we've tried haven't worked. Yeah. We got to keep trying, old and new.
Let us sip coffee and chew down donuts together. So let's get those items. Aha! It's the 11 o'clock bell. Joseph Schultz brought hot coffee and hot coffee cake.
About the war.
So what's happened here today at the vigil? Anything exciting?
No, it wasn't too... too busy.
I see we have about...
There were a few people who showed up.
15 or 20 people. Is this about the number of people who were here all day?
No, there were more earlier on throughout the day. It wasn't this slow, but yeah. There wasn't too many big things happening today, I don't think. No big student marches showing up or
Was there something that happened around 4 or 5 o'clock here today?
I don't know. That's about when I left. I was here in the morning.
Yeah, there was a live telecast for indie media here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gee, I left just in time to avoid that. All right.
And I hear a lot of shouting.
I was here this morning. I was just telling him that when they got in the tussle and Olivia hurt her head pretty badly. It was a deep gash that she got, and she said she blacked out for a minute.
11 stitches.
She could hear the cars, but she didn't see them. And so we took her in, and they gave her a CAT scan and stuff, and she's home recovering.
You took her to the hospital?
Yeah.
And what was it? What did the doctors say about that?
I didn't go into the emergency room with her. But as I say, they gave her a CAT scan, that's what I heard, and stitched her up, 11 stitches, someone said.
Now, what about the guy who hit her? Did you know him? Or?
I saw him around here. I don't know his name. No.
Has he been back?
No. But I've heard they had some other problems with him, some other people, over at the homeless garden, women's...
Previous to the problems here.
Yeah, and he was just a little... He was kind of babbling.
Kind of a little bit loose in the upper quarters.
Yeah, and so I think they might have said now that they just fell. Something happened between the two of them, and they just fell together, and she didn't block her fall very well.
What her story was
I
that
don't know.
Her story was that he smashed her head against the pavement. But,
oh yeah?
Yeah.
Did you talk to her?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But again,
that's what she's saying now. Because
yeah.
The cops let him go right away.
I thought he was arrested and then released.
Yeah. But I mean, he was right back down here.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
so what about last night at this time? Were there this many people?
Yeah. Maybe a few more.
Right.
I guess.
Well,
a very energetic day, even though there weren't a lot of people. There's been a lot of energies going around here. I don't know.
Did Lieutenant Sapone come down and tell people that they had to not be here tonight?
I was gone by then, that time.
She said that people slept here, there would be a legal consequence.
That's the rumor going around, I guess.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, thank you. Are you going to sleep here tonight?
Sleep terrorists down here.
Yes,
at
well,
the town plot.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, whoever's the leaders, we need a porta potty.
We're talking with the infamous resist, Uncle Joe. Actually, we don't resist Joe. We learn resistance from Joe. So, Joe, you're outofprint.com.
Not war.
No, you're not. You're in print. You're getting coffee all over your hands.com. So I know that certain various leaders have been getting together at the Resource Center to try to organize more effective actions to assure the victory of the peace movement over the baser corporate impulses and the madness that we are all suffering under here.
Sneering at the great leadership that we're privileged to suffer under here in this country.
You've got it. Well, leadership is hardly a word I'd use to describe the leaders. But anyway, I know here our local anti-war leadership is making strong moves to get together mass actions that will effectively challenge not only the national leadership, but assure that at a local level, human rights are respected and restored.
No, that's a big assumption.
Isn't it, though? So I know that I was at this, what do we call this, conference of notables?
Spokes Council meeting, I suppose.
Spokes Council.
Mm-hmm.
And spooky it is, man. Kind of a spooky situation. So anything,
what happened?
Yeah, what came out of the meeting? I know last night various support was elicited for Vandenberg and a Lockheed action, and I guess a march in Salinas next week, and then a march in
the end of the month. Well, yeah, the end of the month. The one of Salinas is going to be like the 30th, I believe.
A couple weeks down the road.
Well, I guess that's the end of next week, yeah, Saturday. Then there's going to be one here in Santa Cruz for next Saturday. Now, you know, pretty much these things go according to script. You know, meet at the town clock, march down Pacific. This one's going to wind up at the lighthouse over on West Cliff. So,
and hopefully stop at schools and talk about the cutting of the budget having an impact.
They have an interesting proposal for this one. It looks like they're going to try to pull it off where they actually like are going to go into Beach Flats and say like make it a stop, like the Beach Flats Community Center, make it a stop. Have one speaker talk about like issues that are related to the Latino community in the war. Give people a chance to catch up who might be lagging behind in the march, and then go to another stop. They're going to like stop at four or five places along the way. and have like one speaker at each place to kind of like recharge the crowd and allow people to catch up and then wind up eventually at the lighthouse. So it's got some potential, at least it's a little different.
We did that in 1998, the days we were trying to save the Dolphin Apartments. Of course, we saved them for a couple of years until Fitzmaurice and Crone sold out to the Rodkin Bunch, and we lost them as the Nueva Vista Project. Is there going to be any discussion of our bloated police department budget, perhaps, locally, or will we simply be condemning those evil Bushites in Washington and that nasty Davis in Sacramento?
Oh, I don't think that's on the agenda for this group. I think there's a lot of movement to try to, like, focus the war, like, if you're going to be spending the money, what is it going to be taken away from here? It's going to be taken away from schools, so we have, you know, the idea is to stop at some schools. Going to get, you know, some speakers from labor, for, you know, like working people's issues, how it's going to impact housing, you know, low-income housing, how it's going to impact health care. You know, so there's going to be an attempt to, like, tie it into some of the larger issues, although how effective that'll be here in Santa Cruz, I'm not quite sure.
Uh-huh.
But they're making the attempt.
There'll be the occasional firebrand who will insist on knowing why Mayor Riley is wandering around with a peace movement while she supports a war on the poor at home. Right. You naturally will raise that issue sharply with her.
Oh, of course. Since you brought it up, how it would be remiss of me not to.
Indeed, it would. I saw old Mayor Riley and Robert Nahas, or Schnookums, marching in a mini peace march right in front of the Free Radio Santa Cruz Broadcasting Studios on Thursday evening.
They indeed were there. They were there.
They were marching up the road, and they had little colorful vested, what do you call it, these Caltrans orange vests on people to make sure that they weren't causing any traffic problems. And it was quite a touching march. I actually reached out to touch Emily Riley, metaphysically speaking, and asked her, what about the damn town hall meeting, Riley? Or actually something to that effect. I think I was a little more polite than that. I like to think of myself as more raucous, but I'm not, unfortunately.
Of course, Mr. Manners himself.
Well, I am too soft-spoken. You may think not, but I do. I said something like, well, Emily, what about that town hall meeting? And she then was pleased to announce, April 7th, Robert. At which point I should have said, just in time for the first shipment of corpses. Great, Emily! She, of course, canceled the March 19th town hall meeting at the Civic Auditorium. And this one will also be a podium for our old pal, Representative Sellout Sam Farr.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
I know that you've been having an exchange of wits with your disarmed opponent, Mike Rodkin. Call him a Motormouth Mike, as I used to call him in the old days, a council member and a UC instructor, on the issue of the suitability of denying Farr a podium at the, one of the peace rallies at the, I guess the big peace rally that Santa Cruz had some weeks ago. And, of course, you were denounced, as you put it a moment ago, a sectarian idiot.
Yeah, that's true. I really know what the deal is. It seems like, you know, people don't even know, like, what the decision-making that went into it. It's really easy to step back and criticize those who are actually doing something or attempting to do something. So, it's sitting back and casting little stones, you know.
I don't think Mike was casting stones.
Well, it's obvious. He seems like he must have written it in a fit of pique and hits the send button too early to email the letter into the Sentinel. But it's a fundamental. I just don't think that people who aren't doing anything concretely to, like, try to effect some change or scare up some opposition to this war have any standing to, like, criticize those of us who do.
Now, Mike is a member of the city council who has been for years a tribute to the socialist feminist current in our community, which has re-elected him repeatedly. Don't believe a word I'm saying, folks, but this is, in fact, the rap that he puts out.
I really don't know what to make of that, other than he's got his facts totally wrong. It's like, you know, to deny Farr a spot, you know, and call that sectarian, it's like, that was it in response. The real story is actually this whole thing came about because of Emily Riley. We had given her a spot, and she was controversial when we were going around to the speakers, like whether we should, like, have her as a speaker or not. But
Emily, no parking for the homeless, Riley, controversial, whatever do you mean?
Well, yeah, that
Emily, is... Camp Paradise, get the fuck away from the river, Riley? No way.
There's, yeah, I mean, people had mixed feelings about her, but they figured that her involvement with the Women Rise and, you know, da-da-da and all that stuff would, you know, allow her a spot on the podium. She went, I guess, I don't know, behind her backs, whatever you want to call it, put a phrase on it, and called up Farr's office and said, hey, there's a peace rally, you can speak. And so we heard about this. And there was, no, Farr didn't even make the first cut, you know, on the speaker. He's like off the list to begin with.
Representative Farr voted for the no force in Iraq resolution in those balmy October days before they were bombing.
Oh, of course. Well, you know, sure, deny him the authorization, but give him all the money he wants to wage the war. So he, at the same day he voted against the use of force resolution, he was voting for the largest Pentagon budget in history, larger than the next 12 nations combined. So this guy's a peace activist? I don't think so. Anyway, what happened was he basically tried to shoehorn in at the last minute on the stage, and we, to make sure everybody was clear on this, we had called up his office and talked to his aides and said, hey, there's no way, you know, we've got the speaker list already figured out, it's tight already, and there's no way. Farr's aides berated one of the Peace Coalition members to the point of tears because they were so incensed that we wouldn't see the wisdom of allowing Congressman Farr a spot on stage. So at that point, there was absolutely no way he was going to get on stage because you know, if you want to come and be a speaker, you at least have a personal, you're personable about it. You ask. You don't try to shoehorn in, demand, have your staff scream and yell at the organizers of the rally and demand to be put on the stage. There's no way. I mean, he kept himself off the stage. And so to tie this into the Rodkin thing, me and another organizer of the rally, we wrote a letter in basically correcting the Sentinel's false reportage that they said Farr spoke at the rally, which he did not. And so we were correcting the record. And in correcting the record, we had given our reasons why we didn't think it was appropriate that he spoke, you know, giving our reasons very calmly, very rationally, point by point. We even gave him some things that he could possibly do so he could get a spot at the next peace rally, and that's the way we ended it.
Delegation to Baghdad, Human Shield, something.
Well, we can read the letter and look it up on the Sentinel's website. But
unfortunately, Representative Farr seems to still be up to his old playing to one side and then playing to the other tricks in a resolution passed by the House commending the Fuhrer for Operation, what is it, Iraq Freedom, I think they call it. Iraqi Freedom, or we recce Iraqi, whatever they want to do. He voted absent, or actually, he voted present. He abstained. He voted present. And that was, of course, not joining the 10 other Congress people who bravely stood against the mass patriot hysteria that seemed to be afflicting the House and the entire Senate. 99-0 is the vote there on a similar resolution.
Well, this is where it gets absurd. I'm sure Rodkin wrote his letter before this vote, but this is, you know, a case in point of why Farr doesn't deserve any leadership, you know, admiration or anything, as Rodkin claims in his letter. The guy's mealy-mouthed, he's wishy-washy, he tries to walk right down the middle of the issues.
You have to work with these people. I mean, you can only go as fast as the activists around you. I heard this man tell me yesterday, you cannot get too far ahead of the group. You have to, shall we say, realize that, you know, those activists at the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for example, if they don't want to protect civil rights in Santa Cruz, oh, well, let's just wait until they do, that sort of thing.
Well, Farr, I mean, tied to Farr, he's in a safe district. I mean, it's an overwhelmingly Democratic district. He's getting under no threat from anybody, including Steve Argue. In terms of, like,
being criticized in his letter as a violent man who struck a police officer. But of course, in fact, Steve wrote a nice response, which indicated he defended a woman, and that the police officer who jailed him was found guilty, and the woman was found guilty of excessive force.
Of course, this goes back to the days when a peace activist, you know, whom Rodkin admires, voted for the use of depleted uranium against civilians in Kosovo.
This is a Representative Farr you're talking about?
Yes, this is Farr. I mean, his list of bad votes that puts him more on the warmonger, should be tried as a war criminal side of the ledger, way more than on the peace side. That's just another case in point. This whole vote that came up, You know, he could have had some backbone. He's in a safe district. He's under no challenge from anybody. He's going to show some damn leadership. Wants to be recognized as a leader of some kind of opposition to war. He should have stood with Barbara Lee and Charles Rangel and John Conyers and Maxine Waters and the people who had the guts to say no, not only to Bush, but no to this resolution. He could have, but he didn't. He said, I'm present. I'm here. That's a leader. That's a leader. This is the kind of leadership you expect from, you know, for the peace movement. These are the people that Rotkin thinks we should get behind and are people that are worthy of admiration. I don't know what, you know, he must have not looked at Barr's voting record for the past, you know, ever since he's been in office.
Contact Uncle Mike up on campus, or perhaps on Tuesday night at the city council. We can put the two of you together in the same room and see what happens.
Well, fine. I'll do the on-air interview. I think I'd sit across from him and debate him. Not on the radio or something. Not at the city council, but it's you've
your
got
3 minutes are up. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, your 3 minutes are up. I'm sorry. If we get three, it's down to two now. I hear. But you go to the Farr's webpage now. You know, his latest statement on the damn thing is there's the first link is like support our troops. Links to resources to support the troops, their families, and et cetera. You know, and so you get right down to it. You know, I don't want to see any Americans killed, but I don't want to see any Iraqis killed. You know, it's you click on the link on Farr's webpage, and it takes you to six fucking pages of resources for the armed forces and their families. Where the hell's the six pages of links to fucking peace, you know, peace organizations, the things you can do for peace? No, there's six freaking pages of links to support our damn troops. You know, it's like, okay, fine. You want to support our troops, Barr, make a statement, bring them home. The statement he made in the Sentinel is like, the debate on whether to send troops is over. Bullshit. It's not over until they're back home. You know, that's not leadership. That's like capitulation. That's mealy-mouthed. Trying to walk the middle of the road because he's got some conservative constituents down in the south of the county. The guy can't have it both ways, and I'm sorry if Rotkin thinks this is sectarian idiocy. The people have to stand up and take a strong stand. Barr has not taken a strong stand. Just the bottom line.
Hear that, Rotkin, and we'll try to get your response as soon as possible. Thank you, Joe Williams.
So it's about 11:35, and I'm going to start counting the sleepers. One, two, three sleepers here at the sort of the statue, collateral damage statue. And over here, we to be round the clock, that's the one, two, three, four, five, six mummy-like sleepers wrapped in blankets. And over on the North Pacific side, 7-8, and in front position, 9-10. So we got 10 sleepers, and of course the famous drummers and the tambourine player. Deep resonant boom de boom boom. The man in red continues to send out his pleasing vibrations over the buildings and traffic lights of Santa Cruz. Not to mention the tambourine and the scratcheroony instrument, whatever that may be. And the jews harp, perhaps? Hard to say. And there's a man who's playing the lamppost. Very interesting. Yes, it's extremely low-key, dispersed freedom in action here in beautiful Santa Cruz. We're getting closer to midnight out here at the 24-hour vigil. And actually, if we if we're generous and we count the well, the vigil was suspended for a few days, but it really began Friday the 7th, and it's Saturday the 22nd, going on Sunday the 23rd, which really makes for about, 16-day vigil against the war, give or take a few days. So, John, you say you have a report that a woman going to work at New Leaf with a peace sign, wow, that's the midnight bell, was almost run down?
Correct. She was almost run down today, this morning, going to work.
Do you have any, like, more details?
That's the detail one of the workers said this morning, today.
And you, well, you went to New Leaf to buy groceries, and you heard this?
Yeah, I went to New Leaf and bought groceries today.
Gotcha. You know the name of the worker that this happened to?
No.
Okay. But she just mentioned that to you. Yeah.
And we're going to interrupt this taped series of interviews from last night to get back to our studio. We're talking to Madison Fitzgerald. Madison, you've been doing some interesting freeway driving and engaging in some interesting, tell us about it.
Well, being an artist, we part of our language is symbol language. And like I said earlier, I gave out peace signs on September 12th. And some of my friends who I know are peaceful-oriented people and usually activists, they were on the fence. They didn't know. They hadn't done quite as much research up to this point. And they were upset with me. But getting on to this, I was giving out flower power stickers and peace signs to strangers and friends and kids and especially the children, because if they're 17, I know when my brother was at Berkeley, people were 15. All their friends, were shipped out, and some of them never came back in body bags. But on the freeway the other day,
you had something on your
this
vehicle.
I had one on my vehicle, and this guy came out of nowhere just on the freeway with his 4x4, and had government stickers all over his car, or not all over, there were three or four big ones.
Where was
and
this?
Up on the 280, and he cut me off several times.
Fremont or?
280 in Cupertino, mm-hmm. And I was just, I've lived in a lot of ghettos, and I'm not easily scared. So I followed the guy for several exits, which is not what he expected, and I have a cell phone, which, you have immediate contact to whoever you want to contact. And all of a sudden, the energy turned, because I've lived in ghettos, and what I've learned there is you don't be the preyed upon, you be the preyer. You be the predator. So I followed him for several exits, and he headed towards Moffett Field, and I was late for a meeting, and I thought, well, I can pull in here and have his commanding officer and make a big to-do and that sort of thing, but I chose another option. But I would say that there you need to be, we have a self-defense expert here, you need to be aware of being, shifting energies and knowing your own place and space. And you want to address that, Cordelia?
Yeah, there's often a testing phase where the person that is being the aggressor wants to see whether you'll stand your ground and project strength back. And if they sense fear, then, that draws the aggression. If you sense strength, sometimes they back off because they realize, hey, I could get hurt here too. So, I don't know. I think when it comes to physical action, that should always be a last resort on a personal level as well as a national level. I think there are different levels of response, and just kicking somebody's ass over egotistical reasons, again, on a personal level or a national level, is wrong. And
on the other hand, if they're coming to beat you up, it's best to defend yourself or get away, one of the two.
Under any circumstances, you've got a right to defend yourself from attack. Once people have encroached that personal space and they are a threat to you, whether it's, for a rape or a mugging situation or, somebody assaulting you because they don't agree with your views, you have an absolute right to defend yourself. And I think there are times when use of force is appropriate to stand up against those that would cause us harm, but it should definitely be for the right reasons at the right time.
Armed self-defense, Black Panthers, actually a lot of activists in the 50s were talking about armed self-defense if they were African Americans facing the kind of vicious lynching, institutionalized segregation, hate scene down in the South, throughout the country, actually, in many ways. And
a lot of people forgot that Willie Mays had cross burnings in San Francisco, so he moved to the peninsula in the early 60s. Today, you'd be shocked if that happened in your neighborhood.
So we're going to hear soon, in about half an hour, from Steve Argue. He's a city council candidate who puts out a lot of interesting emails on the issues of labor solidarity against the war in Iraq, and he also was the subject of some controversy recently. You heard Joe Williams talking at this Town Clock interview a few moments ago about how Rotkin criticized peace activists because they felt that Sam Farr was appropriately not invited as speaker to a large peace rally because Sam Farr is definitely not a peace activist. He may be a politician who occasionally votes the right way on peace issues, but he sure as hell is no peace activist. I wish the damn peace activists would get together and put their butts in his office.
But all I can seem to do is get them to sort of put that off to the side in a little box that says possibilities on the butcher paper on the wall of the Resource Center for Nonviolence. But if you're interested in something like that, like a sit-in in Farr's office, go on to the, give me a call at 423-HUFF, or go on to the Santa Cruz Indie Media website, and we can talk about it. We have, many of us, been arrested in Farr's office when he supported the Kosovo bombing, the use of uranium-depleted weapons, and all that military crap that Clinton was doing back in 1999. Now we got Bush doing something even worse or equally bad, and it's time to do, you know, exactly the same with this clown. But, hey, that's just an unpaid commercial announcement. I promised the Capitola 13, as we are called, or I guess the Santa Cruz 13, those are the people arrested at the military recruiting offices in on 41st Avenue on Thursday, I guess it was, in the morning. It was covered by Free Radio Santa Cruz because the fellow next to me happened to have a cellular phone as we stood in front of the, I guess it was the Navy recruiting office. You're going to hear me repeatedly say the Army, but the Army recruiting office is actually on the second floor, and the Navy is on the first floor, and that's where I and a number of others were standing, though there were some peace activists blocking the doors of the Army recruiting office on the second floor, and I think the Air Force one as well.
Robert.
Yes, Nick.
Before we play that, I don't want to leave it this hanging, the motor incident with Matt on the freeway.
Uh-huh.
Can I just ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
Okay. Matt, did you see the face of this man who cut you off repeatedly?
Yeah, I did. I did see him quite clearly. He was right next to me.
And what did his face? Could you describe the emotional content? Or?
I'm intuitive healer and a sensitive, and that's easy for me. He was very clouded around him. He looked like a depressed person, sad. His hands were gripping the wheel very tightly. Just like a person who didn't have any outlet.
Yeah.
It was monofocused, maybe.
And it sounds like a Department of Defense employee, probably going to Moffett Field. What did he actually... Did he crisscross you in front of you several times? Did he deliberately throw himself out of one lane into your lane? And
yeah, I was just driving along, you know. I don't do coffee in the morning, so I'm usually kind of sleepy and heading to a meeting. And he just came out of two or three lanes over, came up to the right, towards my driver's side, and that's when I looked straight over and saw him, and then he just continued to cut me off and slow down and go back and forth by my vehicle several times. And then I'm a stealth redhead, so he got a little reaction out of me. I don't think he expected, you know. I rolled down my window, and I didn't swear, but I let him know that I've lived in a few ghettos, and if he wanted to come on down to my lane, he was welcome.
So you did find
road
some
rage.
Way. You did.